What he means was this old covenant is fading away, this old system, you know, and there's so much. Some of you guys got something out of that Elisha and everything going on. We're going to spend a couple weeks on that because a lot of things get taught incorrectly, in my opinion, even in the grace camp. Most pastors, I'm reading this stuff, I go, that can't be it. This can't be. And then when you dig a little deeper in the scripture, because they don't know it's a picture, Jesus is perfectly fulfilling all the types, shadows, and pictures of the old covenant. So if you don't understand that, you just start teaching about Elijah, for instance, I promise you, you're going to mess it up. You're going to give a message that's not there. Does that make sense? The spirit of Elijah. And this, hey, we can extrapolate this because this is what Elijah did. Elijah is an old covenant prophet. Then you better put yourself under the whole old covenant. Does that make sense? And so Elisha, God's salvation, that was the transition with John the Baptist and Jesus. And so if you don't understand this, I promise you, you're going to mix law and grace. You just will. Does that make sense to you guys? And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he's talking about the kingdom, most people don't understand this. He's talking about talking to the Jewish nation, this old system of old covenant law, he's really harsh with them, isn't it? He really is harsh with them. And what does he show to the Gentile, the dogs of the world? What does he do to them? Nothing but grace, amen? And go look at it. And so that's what I want you to just show, because it'll free you up, because most of the teachings on faith will mess you up. Because I think they're all wrong. I really do. I know it's bold in me saying that, because Robert, I was telling you last week, I go, God, I feel like I'm stepping on toes, but I go, I'm reading this, and I go, that is not what it's even saying. And it's not. Even these massive pastors, I go, they're getting this all wrong. They're putting people, what he's expressly talking to the Jews and the law, we're trying to extrapolate that into our life, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so when it says, hey, you know what? He's talking to the nation of Israel, and he goes, you know what? And I've seen all the deliverance guys try this. Don't cast that spirit out of somebody, because if you don't replace it with something, seven worse are going to come. Read it with English, if you speak English. He's talking to the Jewish nation. He says, listen, this spirit of old covenant law that you're eating from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, listen, you know what? If you get rid of that, you know what evil is? Full of works. And unclean, you know what? Go look it up. Unclean means adulterated by mixture. We think it's this devil with fangs, unclean spirit. And don't cast it out because something worse is going to come in. But what does Jesus tell you? Cast them out. Doesn't he? But don't do it because seven worse are going to come in. Well, no wonder we're all messed up. Do we do it or don't we do it? I don't know. You got to hear clearly. Yeah, Jesus said, go cast them out. Yeah, but we don't know. Read your Bible. He says, cast them out. But, nation of Israel, if you don't fulfill it with the new spirit, you know what's going to happen? Seven more mixtured spirits are going to come in. It's going to be all works after that. If you don't get this new covenant of grace and you cast that old spirit out, at least you had a lamb. But once the temple's destroyed, you don't even have a lamb. You can't go back there because I was the only lamb. You're going to go completely works. And what has the nation of Israel done? Complete works. What's the church done for 2,000 years? An unclean spirit, mixture, adulterated by mixture, amen? So you got to read these things in context. I know the deliverers don't like that, hopefully it's freeing you up because it really is good news to me. See, here's what Jesus came. The kingdom of heaven is right here, right now, amen, you can have it. Hallelujah? Now, what is the kingdom of heaven? This is where people don't get. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not a tangible thing. So the kingdom of heaven doesn't come with observation. You can't do things to get it, and you can't observe it. It's going to be an inward belief system that has power. Does that make sense to you guys? So when we're still looking for the Shekinah glory, it goes, it's in you. It's in you. Hallelujah. So the Shekinah glory in the old covenant was in the holiest of holies, right? And Doug Bishop, we were not texting earlier this morning. That's why it's fresh on my mind. He goes, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The outer court door was called truth. Then you get into the holy place, and guess what that was called? No, I'm sorry. The outer court was life. It was truth. And then when you get into the holiest of holies, of God's Shekinah, his presence was the way. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and he goes, boys, that was all written about me. I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Come on in. And experience me. Isn't that beautiful? It's so beautiful. He goes, I'm the way. You can come into his presence all the time. Even Moses, he's on the mountain and he's in the clouds and the banging and everything else. He goes, show me your glory. The guy goes, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. Who is the rock? Jesus, I'm going to cover you with my hand, and you're going to see my back parts, but I'm going to, my goodness, my mercy, everything's going to pass before you. His glory is all of that. Does that make sense? And then finally, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses got to see Jesus face to face. He couldn't see him under the law, but he had to see him in Jesus' glory where he abolished the law. He goes, now you can see me clearly. You can see my face. You guys get this? And if you start teaching anything but that kind of stuff, you get a whacked out theology and a whacked out Bible school and whacked out all of it. And people are whacked. They're not. I'm just serious. It's so frustrating to me because I see all these people and I go, man, you're putting them under judgment and condemnation, and yet you're trying to go, work harder, Arnold, get more faith. I'm trying. Right? That's why I joke about it all the time. I go, it's so much easier being an unbeliever. I didn't have to do all those things. I just believed God was good. Like, God, you're good. I think you're out there somewhere, and I think you're on my side, and we're going to go kick butt together. And it worked. Also, I go to Bible school, and oh, no, you do this. You know, do this and do that. Jeez, really? That's what we always said. It sounded like it was easier to not be a believer. And it was. That's what Jesus said. He goes, listen, the two people who he said great faith had no unclean spirit. They weren't under the law. They weren't fasting. They weren't praying. They were Gentiles. He goes, that's how you have great faith. You do nothing but me. And then it's all yours. Amen? And so we start teaching stuff like this. You got to have more of this and less of this. Even the grace camp teaches this nonsense. Hey, your unbelief has to be above, your belief has to be your unbelief. Yet Jesus goes, all you need is a mustard seed. But you have to have more of it than the unbelief, or it's not going to work. Well, I got a mustard seed. It's the smallest seed. Yeah, but that might be enough, so pray and fast to get it. Wait a minute. I thought it was a good pleasure to give it to me. Now I got to pray and fast to get more of it? See how it's whacked? I know I'm stepping on religious toes, man. I can't read it any other way. I just like, it's his pleasure to give it. Then let's just do nothing and get it. Amen? Does that help any of you? It's so freeing when you do it. Hallelujah. It really is. So, hallelujah. All right, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, part two. I wrote a couple notes here. Old covenant was types and shadows, Hebrews 10, right? The new Hebrews 11, 1, but now faith is the title deed. Hey, all that was types and shadows. Jesus is the real thing. Jesus is your rest. He's your redeemer. He's your jubilee. He's everything. He's now every promise that there's conditions, if you do this, then this. He goes, now every promise is yes and amen because I did it perfectly. He fulfilled every jot and tittle. That means if in Hebrew, it's like even the little tiny things about words, he goes, I even did that. And the Hebrews, they didn't know he was the Aleph Tav because it's the very first, go look at the Bible, the first verse of the Bible in the very middle, in the fourth one, in the middle, in the middle of the first verse, it says Aleph Tav. And you can go look to the interlinear Bibles right now, even in the Jews go, we don't know what it is. It's untranslated. So Jesus goes, I am the Aleph Tav. I'm the ox on the cross. I'm all of it. Every jot and tittle I fulfilled. Now enjoy me. You guys get it? So that's where I'm coming at. But if you don't know that the old covenant was, and then Jesus in the new covenant is just fulfilling all the old covenant, I promise you, you're going to have an unclean spirit. That doesn't mean you're devil's running around, guys. That means you're going to mix law and grace, and it's going to be adulterated. So it's impossible to have faith when we go, maybe. You might. But only if this condition exists or then condition. See how it's screwed up? He goes, I'm supposed to give you the dissolving of doubts. He says, the fivefold ministry is to get you there to take you all to the same level. Does that make sense? And I'm supposed to dissolve your doubt, is what it says, the spirit of dissolving doubt. It's hard to go, well, if you're arguing with your spouse, God's going to hinder your prayer. How much encouragement does that give you? It's easier to go, you can come to him right now and you're going to find mercy and grace. And he's not going to challenge you. He's not going to give it. He doesn't do it with fault findings, is what it says. You come to him and he sees you perfect, always available, always righteous. Every promise is yes. I don't deserve it. That's the concept of grace. That's the good news. Amen? You guys get this? So I'm going to unravel some of the old covenant stuff that I just think it'll really... Faith is, it's not trying to build something. In fact, Reinhard Bonnke said this. He goes, the West is the only place where you have levels and unbelief and belief. He goes, we just believe we have it, so he raises the dead. Amen? So let me ask you this. The two people that had great faith, they were Gentiles. Did they pray and fast? Yet he said it's great faith. It's a lot of it. Well, wait a minute. Because we read last week that in Matthew 17 and Mark 9 that we had to pray and fast. Yet the Gentiles didn't do any of that. And he goes, you have great faith. because they didn't pray and fast. The only time in the Old Covenant where they're praying and fasting was to receive his presence. Bring us the Messiah. The Jews believe two things. The Messiah is going to come and restore his kingdom, and then there's going to be hell to pay for the people that don't believe. That's what they believed. Does that make sense? And so then he comes along and he goes, listen, I am all of that. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit for the believers, but there's going to be judgment for the people who don't believe. And he's talking to the nation of Israel. It's not for us. Does that make sense? There's no wrath. He goes, listen, if he sent his son when you're dead in sin, how then how can you expect wrath? There's no wrath for us. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? I don't have seeds in my basement and doing stuff because I'm not a part of that. I'm a son. I'm a joint heir. Follow me? I'm probably all over the place on you guys right now, but it's such good news to me. I go, there's so many scriptures swimming in my mind right now. I'm like, God, this is all starting to make sense. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. So let's just get into this, all right? But it really is good news. Here's the good news. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You are righteous. You can have his shalom, his peace, and you can have joy in the Holy Spirit. It all just comes by believing in Jesus, qualified me. That's it. That's it. No other adding, subtracting, unbelief, belief, nothing. No level. Jesus. Hallelujah. I am salvation. That's what he's trying to say. All those were types and shadows of me. So if we start teaching anything but that, I promise you, you're going to get weird. And it's going to, you're not going to be persuaded of something that he's already given you. And you know what? The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's telling the Jews, he goes, listen, if you don't believe in me, even what you have is going to be taken away. That's not written to you and I again. He goes, when you believe, it's all yours, but you know what? You believe you still have to work for it, so you're going to be stolen from because you can never work hard enough and you'll always doubt. But if you just believe that I did it all for you, get our little brain to come back and go, wait a minute, I deserve this because of Jesus and Jesus only. Hallelujah. Now be persuaded of that. That's all he's doing. You guys get it? Okay, so let's go. Oh, all right, I promise I'll get you out of here. But this is really exciting for me. It's good news. It really is. I'm like, thank you, Father, because it's unraveling things to me. Because I grew up in this build your faith nonsense. You guys get it. All right. What was John the Baptist's message? See, if we don't understand this, John the Baptist, we saw this last week. Jesus says, listen, here's what the Jews know. In Malachi, not Micah. I thought I was just, it was one of the M ones. Malachi 4, 5, 6, right in there he goes, listen, John the Baptist or Elijah is going to come, and then the new covenant, Jesus clearly says, who is Elijah? John the Baptist, right? He goes, so I sent a forerunner to get you to repent from your old way of doing things, and all repent is what? It's not stop sinning. Because if Jesus came to stop your sinning, how well did he do? That emoji with the teeth. Right? Like, yet we put on our Sunday clothes and we go, hey, brother. So great to be in the house of the Lord. Kingdom. Praise God. All things work together for our good. I go, most people believe that like nothing because they're still trying to earn it. Does that make sense? So when we go, yeah, man, isn't that great? You can cast your care to him. He'll do it. He'll take care of you. He'll bless you. He'll favor you. He'll prosper you. This is a new kingdom. Amen? Well, you can't be that free. No, that's if sun set you're free indeed. There's no way around it. Hallelujah. That's why we're called freedom. You guys get this? Now, I get it. The religious people will gnash teeth. But if you don't understand, John the Baptist was transitioning from an old covenant to a new covenant. That's all this is. Elijah was transitioning to Elisha with a double portion. Does that make sense? And it said, if you see me going up in a cloud, Elisha, which literally means God's salvation. It literally means God's salvation. Hey, this old covenant spirit where he cast down fire, Elijah, old covenant of judgment, right? If you see me taken, then you're going to get a double portion. Isn't that what Scripture talks about? Hey, for your lack, I'm going to give you double. Amen? So this new covenant is twice as glorious. He said if the old covenant was glorious, how much more the new covenant is glorious? John the Baptist is up there going, listen, I must diminish. Moses said, listen, this old covenant is going to fade away. John the Baptist is going, I must diminish, and he must increase. And the new covenant says, you know what? This kingdom is going to increase forever. The old covenant's fading away. The new covenant's increasing. It's just over and over and over. So, but if you interpret it some other way, I promise you, you're going to mix it up. You're going to start putting requirements on people so it's not free anymore. And that doesn't persuade you. That dissuades you, doesn't it? Most messages on faith, they go, man, I tried it. It doesn't work. I've been around all the big guys, haven't we? And behind the veil, it's not very pretty, to be honest with you. They share openly with us, like, God, we can't keep doing it this way. We're tired. Well, then don't stop. Get up there and see, this is what the message was. Even the new covenant, they're telling these old covenant believers, said, listen, you guys can't follow the law. So why are you making these Gentiles follow the law? Yet these pastors get up there and go, look at me, man. I've got so much faith and I've increased this and do this. And this. I go, what does it do to the flock? I suck. Someday, Lord, just increase my faith. I'm fasting for it. And he's going, listen, I came to give you a feast, but stop eating. No wonder the body of Christ is schizophrenic, literally, because it's just crazy talk to me. You know what I'm saying? You guys getting this? So you have to see the old covenant faded away in this new covenant. Elijah was transferred into Elisha. John the Baptist was going, repent. The kingdom's here. The king is here. This is the thing we've all been waiting for. The Messiah is coming and restores his kingdom. They just thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom. He goes, it's not in observation. You're not going to see this. It's going to be about what you believe. It's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to make you righteous in the new covenant as a gift. Stop trying to do the stuff. You'll labor you. You can't do it. It'll wear you out. Amen? It's toilsome. Jesus sweat blood in the garden. He was the real olive that was sweat. So you don't have to toil to be favored by God anymore. It's free. Hallelujah. Isn't that more persuasive than build this to do this and make sure that's evened out and you got enough of this and all that? And if you don't have it, then pray and fast. Well, I was persuaded until I heard you. See what I'm trying to say? And I know I'm stepping on big toes, guys, but I'm going to show you. You cannot go there. It's either a mustard seed or it's not. It's either a gift or it's not. It's either freely given or it's not. Does that make sense? And any other thing is an unclean spirit adulterated by mixture. All right. So what was John the Baptist's message? In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, the kingdom of his hand. In hand means it's literally right here, right now. It's tangible, guys. Here's the king. He's coming. Change what you believe. That's what repent is. Metanoia. Change what you believe about stuff. And that's the whole message of the church today. He goes, listen, if you want all the promises, you got to stop believing you have to earn it. Because in the old covenant was a type and shadow. They didn't enter the promised land where people did stuff for them. They lived in houses they didn't build. They drank from wells they didn't dig. That was a picture of Jesus. I'm going to do all the labor for you so you can freely enjoy me. Does that make sense? But the 10 didn't enter in. What's the 10? The law. They didn't enter in. They said, there's giants in the land. No way. We can't do this. But 2 had a better spirit. They believed something they didn't have to perform. Does that make sense? They got in. Yeah, and he says, in Hebrews, he says, listen, let's not be like them. How to get into all the promises of God is just believe Jesus did it for you. You don't have to labor. Rest. I'm your rest. I'm not, meaning, I think we think it's like this, peace, rest. He goes, no, you don't have to work in religion anymore. It's free. I was your door. That's what he's trying to say. Does that make sense? And when you come with that spirit, guess what? You'll outwork everybody. You won't be lazy because you'll be pumped up. Wait a minute. New covenant? Everything I put my hand to shall prosper? Hallelujah. You know what makes you do? You go. Because you're fired up. But make sure you hear him clearly. Where was the last time you heard him? Go back to where you heard him. That's why it's not working. No, it's not working because they don't believe the right thing. I believe whatever I put my hand to is going to prosper. Does it look great all the time? No, man. So that's why I got to renew my mind every day to not be conformed by, hey, this is why, and you got to study this and be more diligent and do this and do that and do this. Read this book and 7 steps and all this. My step is Jesus, man. Hey, my wisdom is Jesus. He became my wisdom. What does that mean? Lord, you know I'm mildly retarded most of the time. You're my wisdom. I deserve it because of you. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. Yeah, but you know what they say about the economy? Economy, shmonomy. He's my wisdom. Does that make sense? You got to get this because it's free. That's the old covenant went away. Now the new covenant is yes and amen. So be it. Hallelujah. Okay, you guys getting this? Let's go. All right. So Elisha is a picture of the old covenant transferring to the new covenant. Hey, I must diminish. You must increase. Hey, here's really good news. Hey, Jesus says this. Every prophet culminated in John the Baptist. Right? But I tell you a truth. He who is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. So if you accept Christ, you are greater than John the Baptist. Amen? Hallelujah. Because listen, everything transferred up to John. I sent you Elijah. That's what Jesus said. I sent you, Jewish nation, I sent you Elijah. I told you, enter in. This is the guy. This is everything that we've been waiting for. And now Elisha is on the scene, Jesus. Amen? So it's all about this River Jordan and everything else, and that's Old Covenant. So let's get through this. The reality of John the Baptist bringing in the New Covenant. That's what this thing is all about. So let's go through Scripture, all right? This is what I'm gonna free you up on your faith in that you can cast demons out. Jesus said, go cast them out. He gave the disciples power, and then all of a sudden, even the grace camp comes to this Scripture in Mark 9 and Matthew 17. Yeah, but this kind, you can't. Well, I don't think Jesus was mistaken. He said, cast them out. Greater works than I do, you're going to do. You can do all this stuff. Does that make sense? And then it takes wrong teaching to adulterate it with mixture, and here's why you can't. So I'm going to clear all that up today. Does that help you out? So I'm going to start Mark 8:38 because the next verse is Mark 9. So you can go through the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all cover this. But here's Jesus at the end. And he's talking to the Jews again, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's, listen, you think you can do this? Listen, unless you lose your life, you're going to find it. What does that mean? Here's how the church has taught it. If you like to watch UFC, which I love it. So here's what your pastor was doing last night. We were watching UFC eating wings. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? Where two or three are gathered, man, he's there. He's there with us. Hallelujah. I'm serious. I believe this. So the church would tell you this. Hey, get rid of that. Lose your life. What he's trying to tell them is he's going, listen, if you think you can earn this, you're going to lose it. Unless you lose your effort of trying to enter the kingdom and go, I can't do it, Lord, and you come to Jesus, then you'll find it. You'll find it was all there. So if he put a desire into you, you go, man, I love music. No. Lose your life. Give up your business. Do all this. That's why we're messing with people. Because God put a vision, like Les said, he puts these visions in your hearts, whether it's music or business or art, really doesn't matter. And the church doesn't know what to do with it, yet we have this message. Yeah, climb the mountain. The church should do all this, but give everything away and be holy and lose your life. And yet the world just goes out there and kicks our rear end. I go, we're supposed to be the kickers. Does that make sense? We're supposed to be under the covenant that, hey, you know what, we can have all of that, but without sorrow. We don't have to have sorrow and painful toil for this. He goes, I'm going to put something in your heart. Just trust me. Go with me on this thing, is what he says in Psalm 37:4. I'm the one who gave you that to be this visionary singer or whatever it is. Don't throw it away. I gave it to you. No, but lose your life. Stop trying to earn it. Everything's about old covenant, new covenant. That's what he's trying to say in all this. Does that make sense? All right. So, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, this is key, because he talks about generation all the way through this. And I just want to get into this. Generation, Strong's is genea. Generation, race of men, perverse race. He's talking to Jews and he goes, this perverse and unbelieving generation. Same word. Does that make sense? That's who he's talking to. All right? And a generation was always 40 years. It was always 40 years. Then right into the next verse. And he said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are... anyway, I'm sorry. Of him, the Son of Man, what was Jesus' message? Hey, you can't get in, Jewish nation, under your old system. I'm the way. Amen? And he's going, if you're ashamed of me, you're going to lose your life. That's my message. That's my word. Follow me? So, and we take it as, well, if you don't profess Christ in the open, then, no, that's not what he's saying. He's going, you know what? Because the Jews, when they were like, Lord, we kind of believe, but we got to still fit in over here and do these Jewish customs. Because that's what Peter did. And then Paul called him on the carpet, didn't he? Yeah. Hey, Paul, you were drinking wine and doing all this stuff. How come when we show up, you act like a good Jew? See, they were ashamed of that message. Does that make sense? So, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Go into the next verse, Mark 9:1. He said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. All right, let's go to the next verse now. Oop, I must have hit something. Verse 2, now after 6 days, what's six? Day of man, man's effort. This man's effort's about to be cut down. All right, so now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. We know that's when Moses came down from the mountain, he brought what? The commandments, right? First time he comes down, what happened to him? They broke them. The commandments that were in the holiest of holies in the ark, were they unbroken or broken? People miss this all the time too. They were unbroken because Jesus fulfilled it. Man broke them, but the perfect one didn't break it. It was a picture of Jesus. Does that make sense? You know, we go, it's covering all. No, no, he goes, that was perfection right there. The whole picture of the ark was his perfection. Does that make sense? All right. So the rock, Peter, James is Jacob. It's supplant. Jacob was the supplanter. I'm changing places. Does that make sense? So the rock changed places with God's grace and love, Yohanan. Moses came down with the law. Jesus came down with grace. You guys get this? See, everything's... All right. So they saw him coming in his glory. His glory was not judgment. That's what Moses saw. He said, look, Moses, I see this cloud, and cloud was always fearful and dark and everything else. Lord, this can't be your glory. Show me your glory. He goes, I'm going to show you the back, but on the Mount of Transfiguration, I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to show you it was Jesus. I come in grace. Does that make sense? You guys getting this? Okay. So he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining exceedingly white. Guess what your robe is right now, if you're a believer? Shining exceedingly white. The spotless lamb, the perfect bride, the holy one. Saint. You don't have to wait for the Pope to do it. Paul already said you're a saint. Hallelujah. It's good news, actually. That's it, all the new covenant. Hey, you saints of God. Praise God. All right. His clothes. Hey, do you think he would have called John the Baptist a saint? Probably. And then you're in the new kingdom, so you're greater than him, so you have to be a saint. This is easy stuff, actually, but religion messes up. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such a launderer as on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them. Don't we sing that song? My skins were as scarlet, now I'm white, or whatever that song is. But God can't see sin. You get that sin out of your life, you thing. He's not going to come back for a spotted bride. Wait a minute, I just sang that I'm white, and now... You are exceeding white in his eyes. Does that make sense? So, and Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. Tabernacles is the whole Jewish custom. They said, someday he's going to tabernacle. God is going to tabernacle with men. So they see this. Peter goes, hey, the law, the Psalms, Elijah, which is the prophets, the law, Moses, and Jesus, let's live with all of them. Right? Let's make a tabernacle for all of them. One for you, Jesus, then we'll add a little bit of the Moses, and we'll add a little bit of the prophets, because he did not know what to say. They were greatly afraid. Why? Because the cloud was always judgment to these guys. Amen? And if you look at Malachi, he said, I came down and I showed them this great and terrible day of the Lord. I came in a cloud and showed these guys on the mountain transfiguration. I go, this old thing's going to get burned up, but you're going to see me in my glory. And they're like, whoo, freaked out, nervous, afraid. They knew, Jews didn't like a cloud coming. If they're in this cloud of witnesses, they're like, this is bad. They wanted the shining light, which we all do too. All right? So, three tabernacles, because he did not have to say, they were greatly afraid. All right? And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Don't listen to the law, don't listen to the prophets, hear him. Hear him only. He was the law and the prophets was a picture of his, and then he perfectly fulfilled it in the new covenant. That's why if you start taking messages out of these old covenant things and you don't realize Jesus is the fulfillment of that, you're going to put yourself under judgment, lack of faith, all this kind of stuff. And this is basically what he's redeeming you all from. Does that make sense? All right. So suddenly when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore but Jesus themselves. Hallelujah. You guys get this? Now they came down the mountain, he commanded them, saying, don't tell anybody that you saw this, the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning, what does rising from the dead mean? And they asked him, saying, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And if you go look, if you have a center of reference Bible, like we said, it says Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And it says, before this great and dreadful day of the Lord, I'm going to send you Elijah. And he's going to turn the fathers to the sons, the Jewish nation, who are their fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Were they under the old covenant? I'm going to turn you back to the fathers. And the fathers are going to be turned back to you. I'm going to get rid of this old thing, and you're going to go back to how we started. Covenant of grace. And the people that don't believe this, there's going to be a day of wrath. I'm just telling you what it says when you do all these fulfillments and you look at it, right? Guys, if you have a center reference Bible, doesn't it want to say? So Jesus tells them something. He sees him in his glory. He also talks about this great and terrible day of the wrath, and they go, wait a minute. I thought you said you were going to send Elijah before that. Follow me? Okay. So now as they came down the mountain, they asked him, saying, why? Well, ho, 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 ho. Why did the scribes say that Elijah must come first? We go to the next verse. I'm going to go back to Matthew's translation of this. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then do the scribes say Elijah must come first?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things." And he goes back to Malachi 6 here. So you can go 4:6. Now, what is restore all things? This is so beautiful in the Greek. I don't want to try to say that word, but you can read it. It's properly restore back to the original standing, for example, that existed before a fall. I'm going to bring you back to how this whole thing started. I'm going to put the fathers back to the son, the son back to the father. I'm going to turn your hearts there, not your actions there. Does that make sense? So what's John the Baptist's message? Repent. This whole thing where he's bringing in everlasting righteousness is at hand. Change how you believe. It's not by you doing anymore, nation of Israel. It's you believing the right thing. Does that make sense? All right. So John the Baptist, that he goes, "I'm going to restore," returning back to the ultimate ideal. Guys, you are in the ultimate ideal right now. And we don't do it because we see the, just like the old covenant, we see stuff in the world, right? See what's going on with all, you know, the police and everything. Everything's going on. We see this stuff. I go, "God, your kingdom can't be here because this doesn't look that good." He goes, "Yeah, but I'm supposed to, you're the salt of the world. You're supposed to be the one that's preserving this thing. But you got an old covenant message, so you're not preserving anything, and you're waiting for my second coming. But the world's waiting for you. The whole world's waiting for the manifestation of sons. The church is going, 'We're waiting for you, Jesus.'" And he's going, "No, I'm going to work through you by what you believe." Does that make sense? Were there trials in the all the termites and ites in the old covenant? Yes. So they go, "This can't be a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at all the trouble." We're doing the same thing in the new covenant. "This can't be you, Lord. Come quickly." We're doing the exact same thing. We're supposed to be the king and the kingdom. He's the king of kings. We're the kings. We're the priests. Amen. And you know what? You're the salt of the world. Guys, we can do this stuff. All it takes is we believe. Right now, we've got it. Does that make sense? So, and it doesn't come by mixing them. It makes it worse. So, let's just keep going. I'm going to go to the last page. To enjoy again what was taken away by destructive, life-dominating power. Full freedom. Hallelujah. And if the message is so clear, "I came to set you free." Yeah, but I'll pray and fast. That's a burden. He goes, "I set you free from all that burden." Jesus is going, "Listen, why would you pray and fast when the bridegroom's here? Now these guys are going to pray and fast when I'm not here, but guess what? I'm not going to leave you, forsake you forever. I'm going to send you back the Holy Spirit." And then what are we supposed to do? Eat again. The bread of life is here. It'll never go away again. Yeah, but don't put down your flesh. My scripture says he's prepared a table in the presence of it. I'm supposed to eat. Does that make sense? They're still trying to do old covenant. "Hey, pray and fast to earn something." He goes, "No, I did all that. I went out into the desert for 40 days. I redeemed you from all of that." Amen? The first Adam messed it all up, eating and drinking. I'm going to abstain from all that in the desert, and I'm going to restore it. So guess what? You can eat and drink again. You guys get this? I don't care if you fast, but it's just if you want to. Don't try to tell somebody else. Because if the message is, "You're complete in Christ," but pray and fast. Now I'm not complete anymore. I felt good. So I went to church. You guys getting what I'm trying to say? So, John, listen, Elijah was John the Baptist. This old covenant thing, he goes, "Repent, guys, because this old covenant's going away. You're going to get it, the real lamb's coming, and everything's free. And if you're ashamed of that, you're going to lose your life." Does that make sense? Now, you don't ever have to worry about that. He's not talking to you there. If you've accepted, you've found life. But you found half-hearted life if you're mixing it. Okay? All right, let's keep going. Verse 14, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them." Scribes. What were the scribes expert at? The law. Right? The law will always disqualify you. These same disciples were just casting out stuff freely, man. Whoa, they didn't have all this faith. They were amazed by it. Man, even the devils listened to us. Whoa, we didn't know we had that. Yet then we try to tell them, "Well, you got to believe more and get your unbelief down, and then you can do it." No, they didn't believe. They were amazed by it. Well, even the devils talk. Listen to me. Guess what? The devils still listen to you, whether you fasted or not, because you guys get this? So this is obviously talking about something else, and it's Genea. It's this race, this unbelieving generation. He's talking to Jews. Amen? So let's go through this. He came to his disciples. He saw a great multitude around them, the scribes, dispute, the experts of the law. So guess what? His disciples now are intermingling with the scribes, the law. You guys get this? Okay, immediately when he saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to mixture or to who? Jesus only. They ran to him, greeted him, and asked the scribes, "Hey boys, what are you doing messing up my disciples for with the law?" Right? And he's going to the disciples, "I told you to get rid of all that. All you need to do is believe in me." That's the unbelieving generation, all right? So then one of the crowd answered, said, "Hey, they're embarrassed now, but I'll tell you what's going on," right? Teacher, one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit." Now, we just saw that Elijah is John the Baptist, right? Zechariah was an old covenant priest. He didn't believe, and what happened to him? He became mute. But in the new covenant of faith, we believe and therefore speak. We're not hearing and never hearing. The Jews were hearing and never hearing, and so they had to be mute. When sin came on the scene, it said, listen, both the Jewish nation and man by himself, nobody could enter in, all are unclean, so that all mouths may be stopped. Meaning you can't brag in your own works to get this. Does that make sense? But believers, we're not mute. What do? We have the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore speak. He's comparing covenants again. You guys get this? So what are we supposed to speak? I have everything because of Jesus. Yes and amen. That's my promise. Hallelujah. All right. You kind of seeing this? Okay. "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a mute spirit." We just, you go and listen. He's talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't believe until he became mute. Right? Okay. Verse 18, "And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth." Now let's go through this. Go to, and I want you to go look this up yourself. Anytime you look up weeping and gnashing of teeth, it'll always be talking about the parables where he's talking about the self-righteous will not like the freedom of the Gentile and just the believer in Jesus, and they will weep and gnash their teeth. So let's give me one example here. I wrote, I'm not going to go through it. Go to Acts 7. 51 through 54 minutes. I'll just give you one example. But you can go look them up. I think there's five or seven. I don't remember. Anytime it says weeping and gnashing of teeth, it's always about parables or the nation of Israel where, hey, even the sons of the kingdom, if you don't accept Christ, guess what? You're going to be in utter darkness and they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But guess what? I'm going to gather my wheat and bring them in. Who are the wheat? The Gentiles and the believers, the Jews that believe. But the ones who didn't believe, you're going to be out in darkness. Doesn't the scripture say, listen, Jesus translated us into the kingdom of light? All right, so let's just go to, I just want to give you one example so you don't think I'm crazy, because everybody thinks that you're waiting to hell until all this happens, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 51, Acts 7, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised." Oh, let me keep going here. Sorry, let me show you a couple things. I think it was in Matthew where it says, there's weeping, gnashing of teeth, foaming, and they become rigid. Is the law rigid? Okay, you guys get this? So here's Stephen. "You stiff-necked." Does that sound rigid? Rigid. "And uncircumcised in heart and ears." What's our... Hey, if you don't... He's mute. He's deaf and dumb. He can't hear and he can't speak. But if you can hear, you're going to speak. Okay? "So you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You will always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one of whom you have now become the betrayer and murderers. We who have received the law by the direction of angels and not kept it." 54. "When they heard these things," who's hearing these things? Pharisees and Sadducees, the self-righteous, the religious, right? "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart." In the Matthew, it says it tears them apart, doesn't it? Tears them apart. There's weeping, gnashing of teeth, and foaming. You guys getting this? The older brother will always persecute the younger brother. The law will always get ticked off by the freedom of the new covenant believer. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed with their teeth." That's what he's talking about. Nobody, because they were mixing this thing, and they're going, hey, Jesus clearly said, disciples, you can go do this. And they did it. Wow, we're amazed. So it wasn't their level of unbelief and belief. They were amazed. You guys following me? Yet all of a sudden they start mixing and the scribes go, here's why you can't do it. It's an unclean spirit, adulterated by mixture, is what it says. And then they're going, whoa, But he's talking about a generation. He's talking about an unbelieving generation. That's what he says. And Matthew says, this faithless, unbelieving genea. He's talking about the nation of Israel. All right. So, gnashes their teeth, they become rigid. So the law is unbending, it's rigid, it can't do this. The man took his son everywhere with him, and nobody could help him. All it was more of gnashing of teeth, foaming, and rigidness. Right? Jesus answered him and said, "Oh, faithless genea." Why did he call them faithless? Because they didn't believe in him. It's not your level. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. The tiniest belief in Jesus is enough. He's talking about a generation. Jews, you're not believing me. I did everything. Right? Even Sodom and Gomorrah would have believed if you saw the miracles he said. And then in Scripture it says Jerusalem was Sodom and Gomorrah. Spiritually, in Revelation. Hey, if you don't even understand that, you're going to think it's Sodom. The United States is Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Revelation he says, no, Jerusalem was Sodom and Gomorrah. Whoa. screws up all the moon books, right? How long? The sun, the moon, and stars will diminish. You know who the sun, the moon, and the stars is? Joseph is a picture of Jesus, right? He goes, "Hey, Dad, Jacob, I had a vision last night. I had a dream. The sun, the moon, and the stars are going to bow down to me." And what was Jacob's answer? Your mom and dad and all the generation are going to bow down to you? Sun, moon, and stars is the nation of Israel. It's going to diminish. The light's going to go out. And we're going, look at the moon. And Jesus wasn't really happy that, hey, you can interpret all this stuff, but you can't see me, because that was just a picture of me. Don't ever judge by the moons anymore, because that was just a picture. I'm the fulfillment, is what it says in Colossians. Yet we're running around looking at the blood moons. Weird, isn't it? I know some of you guys never come back because you want to believe in the blood moon. So, but your own Bible says, don't anybody judge you by the moon anymore. That was a picture of me. Does that make sense? The sun, moon, and the stars, this nation of Israel is going to diminish. Jacob knew what it was, but the Christian believer doesn't. All right? So, how long shall I bear with you? Bear with what? This is a time question now. Bear with what? Their lack of faith? A level? They didn't pray and fast to have enough of it? No, they don't believe in Jesus. This faithless generation, this genea. Does that make sense? How long shall I bear with you? Bring them to me. Bring them to everything. Bring them to Jesus. That's enough. Amen? If you have a faith in Jesus, a mustard seed is more than enough for anything, guys. It's this faith teaching that we have to have more of it while you can't perform. You're messing around with the scribes. Does that make sense? So then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. All right? Verse 21. So he asked the father, it's another time question. Hey, because the Jews thought, hey, the reason this happens is because the father sinned or the son sinned. Who sinned? It says another part of the scripture. Jesus says, hey, how long is this? How long have all your children been like this since birth? We've been trying to work for this since birth, is what he's telling that sinless generation, that faithless generation, right? So they said, from childhood. Remember in Malachi, it says, listen, I'm going to restore the fathers to the children, children to the father. I'm restoring back to the original ultimate ideal, not you having to perform anymore. All you have to do is believe in me. Believe in salvation. Jesus is the one who restored you back to the ultimate ideal. If you have a mustard seed of that, it's more than enough. Hallelujah. And what I always find fascinating, even in the grace camp, when they go, you know, you got to have this and exceed that and do this and do that, and these gymnastics of faith, where you finally just go, I punt on third, man, I can't. Right? Isn't that true? Because it's not about that. Did Jesus perform? Even though his unbelief was higher than his belief? Yeah. That's a weird example. Because there's enough. Right? And the Gentile didn't pray and fast. They just came because Jesus goes, that's what I've been looking for, man. You just believe in me. You didn't fast for it. You just came to me. You went under the law. Does that make sense? Okay. And often he has thrown him by everywhere he brought, everywhere the brother, I don't care, it didn't matter. In this generation, all they could do was throw more fire, more water, judgment at him, and get more rigid. Couldn't cure the son, couldn't kill the children of the nation of Israel. And even the Proverbs, in the parables, he says this, even the sons of the kingdom are going to get it thrown out and it's going to be given to people that are not part of it. Hallelujah. So, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, he's going to Jesus. Jesus, can you help? Jesus goes, I didn't come to condemn, I came to save. Have compassion on us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He's not talking about a level here. What's he talking about? You sinless Judea, you faithless Judea, you still think it's by the law. If you can believe in me, all things are for yours. That's what it says in the Matthew version, right? You believe in me, all things are possible. Hallelujah. We run around telling people all things are possible in God, but make sure you have enough of it. Now all things aren't possible again. Right? You guys getting this? Faith is the title deed. You have it. That's what we're supposed to proclaim. The old covenant was type and shadows. Now the new covenant, you have it. Don't mix it. Don't tabernacle with Moses. Don't tabernacle with Elijah. Hear him only. And he said, you have it. So I'm trying to get across to you. Oh, if you can believe. Believe in what? Jesus is my title deed. Hallelujah. All things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, when you only get Jesus, what happened? The father cried out and said with tears, Lord, man, I suck. My faith meter's not high enough. Right? And then this, even in the grace camp, they go, that's the problem. See, I can identify the problem. No, that just makes me gnash my... Jeez, I'm trying. I need some help. Be it unto you according to your faith. That's not how Jesus acted. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. Unclean literally means adulterated by mixture. The disciples were just messing around with the law. They're messing around with the scribes. Unclean does not mean devil. It means adulterated by mixture. Go look it up. Didn't he always call them, you adulterous generation? You Jezebel. Now we're trying to cast out the Jezebel spirit, and he's talking about something completely different. The Jezebel spirit is meaning I believe in the law and sort of Jesus and some of the old covenant, new covenant, and he's not going to bless me unless I'm good. That's the Jezebel spirit. I command you, come out in him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out convulsed. They don't like this. The religious people like to hold on to their little deals. Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him and became one as dead. Right? And he said, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and he arose. And when he had come out into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast this out? So he said to them, this is where everybody gets messed up. This kind, we all think it's, do you think he's talking about demon here? Sounds like it if you don't go look at what it says. This Genea, this faithless generation. It's not devil, it's not. I can only read it the way it is. Does that make sense? This Genea, which it started in Matthew 28, or Mark 8, Mark 9, Mark 10, they'll all start talking about this faithless generation. This Jewish nation is not believing, right? But if you come to Jesus, that's enough. He goes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus delivers. He has to. It's covenant. His disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast this out? And he said to them, this kind, this genea can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. If you go look at the original versions, don't have fasting there. And says, the only thing this comes out by is prosuke. And I believe it's this. I believe it's twofold meaning here. It says, you know what? It's proclamation. He said, even when Elijah and sometimes they prayed, they proclaimed things. That's prayer. It doesn't just mean asking for God, but I believe it's even deeper. It said, this faithless generation, even in Daniel 9, where it talks about prayer and supplication with fasting, it's asking for the Messiah to come. And he goes, until they turn to me, I can't heal their land. So if there is fasting even in here, because some translations, I go, I can see it both ways. But it's not in there in the original translations. And it's certainly not, you can't have it unless you pray and fast. It means this faithless generation can't help. It can't happen until Israel turns to me with prayer and fasting for the Messiah to come. Then this generation can believe and be part of the new kingdom. It's not you and your level of faith. I promise you it's not. Because if it's a level that you have to perform, it's no longer a grain. Right? And the ones who weren't praying and fasting, the Gentiles, they had great of it. So we can't tell people you're going to get more of it if you pray and fast. How that should make you excited if you like hot dogs like me. Fire it up, Lord. You made a banquet table. I'm going to feast. Right? He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies, but unless you have enough of this belief thing, then you better not eat it. No, he did it for me. He prepared it for me in the presence of my enemies. I get to eat in the presence of my enemies. Old covenant, they had to perform, so they prayed and fast. Lord, send us the Messiah. Jesus says, listen, why would they fast when the bread is here? They're going to fast when the bread is not here. They were 3 days in the grave. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Now he sends the Holy Spirit back. Party on, guys. Don't fast anymore. But you need to do it to put down your flesh. No, that old man already died. I'm hidden in Christ. I can't put anything down. See how messed up we are. Does this help your faith? I know some of you guys are going, bah. I'm going to go through more of the Elijah, Elisha things next week, but it's so beautiful, guys. Let me just give you this would steer you on for next week. I'm done here. So Matthew 3, go look it up. John the Baptist, he's talking about, John the Baptist comes on the scene. He's talking to the nation of Israel again. And these unbelieving genea, this unbelieving generation, right? So the Messiah's come. You're hearing and not hearing, and so you're mute. You don't have faith. You don't speak, so you're mute. You just give people more laws, is what he's trying to tell them. And John the Baptist says this. Oh, let me back up. Old Covenant. So Elijah says, listen, if you see me ascend, you'll get a double portion. This old covenant is passing away, and this new covenant is more glorious. It's double. It's double portion. Does that make sense? Elijah brought down fire and judgment. That's what the disciples said. Hey, listen, these people don't believe. Should we cast down fire like Elijah? What did Jesus say? You don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to do that. Elijah came to do that. He was telling the Jews, listen, if you don't repent, guess what? Fire's coming. Judgment. What's John the Baptist's message? Repent. Fire's coming. Elisha comes on the scene, and he starts doing everything. He makes the bitter water clean. He throws salt in the thing. He puts bread in the poison pot. He does all this stuff. He heals the Shunammite woman, right? The son. Here's another thing he does. There's a guy working, and his axe head drops off in the water. He goes, I'm in debt, man. That thing was borrowed. Right? I can't pay this debt. What does the old covenant do? You're right, man. But Elisha says what? Cut off a stick. Which tree was cut down, man? Jesus. Cut off a stick. And the axe head floated. He just paid a debt you couldn't pay. John the Baptist now is the fulfillment of that. So John the Baptist comes in Matthew 3. He says, listen, hey, you nation of Israel, you unbelieving generation, I tell you the truth. He's come. The axe is already at the root of the tree. Jesus was the axe that's going to cut down that old system of law and grace, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not producing fruit. He says, listen, Jesus is the axe head that floated in the River Jordan. He came out, and he's not under this old covenant of judgment anymore. In fact, he's going to cut that tree down, and it's going to get thrown in the fire because it doesn't produce fruit. If you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what do you produce? Works of the flesh. He goes, I'm going to cut that tree off so you never partake of it again. You fig tree. Fig tree was the nation of Israel and the law system. I tell you, I curse this. You'll never eat from this tree again. We try to make it a faith thing. He goes, listen, I don't want you ever to eat from this tree again. Because it looks good. It looks like there's fruit on it, but all there is leaves, fig leaves, which is man trying to cover himself. You can't eat from this thing anymore. Right? I tell you the truth. If you say this isn't going to happen anymore, guess what? That old kingdom, that old law system is going to be like a plane, and there's going to be grace, grace is what Zechariah says. See, everything's about that, and we try to make it everything but that. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of this. You guys get this? So he's telling the Jews, listen, John the Baptist, Elijah comes on the scene. He's Elijah, Jesus is Elisha, right? The salvation of God. The axe head is cutting down the tree because you're not producing fruit. And guess what? Unless you believe, that tree is going to get thrown in the fire, but he'll gather his wheat. Who's the wheat? You and I, man. The believers. Does that make sense? That old tree is getting cut down at his root, is what it says. You'll never eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil anymore unless you go to church in most places. This kind, not demon. This generation, listen. This generation, you can't cast this thing out because it's tough. They have to hear the good news, and they have to see Jesus only. That's what that's all about. Does that help you out? Okay, let's get finished because I went a little long. That's why I said, I've got so many scriptures, like, blah, I'm freaking out a little bit because the whole scripture is starting to make sense to me. It really is unraveling everything to me. I'm like, man, it's awesome. Repent. What does that mean? Stop drinking beer. No, that's not what it means. Yeah, okay. Stop sinning, whatever. That's not what it is. He was telling the Jews, listen, repent, change the way you think. The old covenant of Elijah is passing away to Elisha, right? And when that happened in the River Jordan, guess what? When the priest went in to the river with the real ark, when it says, when you see this, when you see the priest carrying the ark into the River of Jordan, then you know it's time to go into the promised land. And the water, the judgment, was backed up all the way to a city called Adam. He's removed sin as far as the east and the west as if man never did it. Jesus is the fulfillment of it, right? When you see John the Baptist, who is a priest, he's the son of Zechariah, step into the River Jordan with Jesus, the true ark. It's time to go into the promised land, guys, and he's removed sin as far as the east and the west to a city called Adam. He restored us back to the ultimate ideal. And you teach it any other way, you're going to get messed up. You're going to have an adulterated spirit, is what it says. Unclean. It's not, it doesn't make sense anymore. Well, I had enough. I had a mustard seed, but then this pastor told me I need to increase something. It actually creates doubt. The thing they're trying to do is persuade people, creates doubt. Does that help you guys? Here's the good news. You have enough. Because he goes, I've given you a measure which is more than a mustard seed. If you believe Jesus has qualified you, you got enough. Now you can speak. We have the same spirit of faith, so we speak that we have it. Right? Don't try to raise something or diminish something. In fact, in Revelation it says, don't try to add or subtract from something. Yet most of the grace camp is still telling you to add something. Increase something. Don't do that. You're complete in Christ, nothing lacking. Every promise is yes and amen. Yeah, but you might not have enough. See how whacked out the message is? We don't know which end is up. That's why I'm going, well, heck with it. I'm just going to go watch UFC and drink beer and eat wings and just go, God, I believe you're real and you're good and you like this and you're happy with me and let's go kick butt. Does that make sense? I know. That'll make you gnash your teeth, though. I can't believe the freedom they have. All things have been restored. Elijah came. Amen? And guess what? Elijah, when we saw, Israel, you're never hearing, you're never seeing, but if you see, if you can see this, that was Elijah and Elisha, John the Baptist, a picture, I must diminish the new kings in town. There's a better covenant with better promises, with the blood of Jesus, not the old blood, but it was just a picture. I've restored you back. Now you're a son. You guys get this? If you're a son, then you're a son. How much faith did the son, the younger son, have? I suck, Lord. I've ruined my life. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. Man, all I'm worthy is to be a slave and a servant back in your house. Did the younger son have a lot of faith? Was his unbelief higher than his belief? Disqualified him, man. Pray and fast more. He comes in unbelief. How does the father respond? You didn't lose a thing. All you need to do is hear me only. Hear me only. Don't mix it with law and grace and try add or subtract from it. I'm going to put your coat back on. I'm going to put your sandals back on. I'm going to put your ring on. You didn't lose anything. You come to me, you're going to find mercy and grace. The old covenant, I'm ticked off. I'm not going in there. These guys are dancing and singing and worshiping and saying, beautiful Jesus. Father, you never gave me Nation of Israel. All you need to do is come to me and ask for the Messiah. I'll give you the Lamb. You guys get it? Does that help you? So, yeah, hey, the kingdom is yours. Everything's yours. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's nothing to add. You can come out in bold faith. And if you don't, like, I suck. I'm not, geez. He goes, that's enough. I'm telling you, that's enough. Just come to me. You see all these things I'm trying to show you. Don't listen to the belief, unbelief, mixture, this, faith, increase that. A mustard seed was enough. You don't have to fast for Jack. You're supposed to eat. All things have been restored unless you fast. Properly restore back to the original standing, i.e. that existed before the fall. When the priest, when John the Baptist and Jesus get into that River Jordan, everything restored back to a city called Adam. And we think it's all this other stuff. So, well, because Elijah did this, so they make this doctrine about Elijah. But you're messed up. Elijah's old covenant, you better put yourself all the way in there. Right? Put yourself under Elisha, who did twice as many miracles. Everything was about life-giving. This is the only one that'll mess you up, and I talked about this briefly. Wait a minute. These kids called him bald head, bald head. And Elijah goes, send the bears out and eat them. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound like Jesus. It's not grace. This one took me a while to get. The Nazarites made a vow that when their time of absence was over, they shaved their head. Jesus, outside the camp is what it says. And so Jesus, if you go look, he goes, his beard and his hair was plucked out outside the camp. There were 42 stations from the deliverance from Egypt into the promised land. The priests had 42 things. He goes, listen, they didn't see their Nazirite, and that Nazirite's going to eat up that old system. It's awesome. It's beautiful, isn't it? He's warning them. Guys, you got your chance, man. You've had all the promises. You've had all the oracles. You've had all this stuff, but I'm the real one. And you know what? You can't go back because that old temple is going to be destroyed and there's no sacrifice left for you. I was the lamb that was talking about. So they rejected the Nazarene, and that Nazarene ate up that old system. Whew, beautiful, isn't it? So all things have been restored back to the original standing. They existed before the fall. Reestablished the ultimate ideal. You're in the ultimate ideal. Right? So stop looking at all the trials and speak. We believe and therefore speak. Jesus qualified us for that. It doesn't always happen that quickly sometimes. Sometimes it happens really quickly. But he goes, you know what? Patience is a really good thing. Just do add all these things to your faith. Believe that Jesus qualified us for it, not your level. Does that make sense? So you're not an unbelieving generation where you have to add something to it, the law. And listen, you're going to be perfected. And you know what's going to be the end of it? You're going to see his perfection. That's what it says. Right? But if you don't, faith is always now, so if it's not happening now, you don't have enough faith. Read it in context. Back then, there were types and shadows, but now the real thing's on the scene. See how we get wrecked out? If you have enough faith, it's always now. You'd be healed right now. Jesus was always now. What he's trying to show him is back then, that was a type and shadow. Now, you got the real thing. In the old covenant, he talked to us with the prophets, but in this last times, he's talked to us by his son. Jesus was the reality that everybody was waiting for. Okay? All right, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You enter in by belief, just like the old covenant. It's a spiritual thing. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Did he give you the Holy Spirit? Yes. What was the Holy Spirit supposed to teach you? Go to school and learn how to hear more. The ones proclaiming that aren't hearing what he said. Lisa Knockle and I were texting back and forth about this one the other day. So I go, God, these guys irritate me to no end. Learn how to hear the Holy Spirit. Jesus says this. He goes, listen, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Keep reading. No, that's accurate, actually. That's accurate. Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go unto my Father. Jesus said, listen, I didn't ascend until you were completely justified. And of judgment, because the enemy has been judged. He's under your feet. And everybody proclaiming to hear the Holy Spirit never teaches those things. It always amazes me. Learn how to hear them. What did the Holy Spirit tell them that he was going to teach them? If you believe in Jesus, you're perfectly sinless. If you see him, righteousness is a gift because he didn't rise and go back to the throne with his own blood until you were perfectly justified. He died for our sins. He rose for our justification. If you see me rise, you know you're completely righteous. Hallelujah. And guess what? The devil's been judged, not you. He came to judge that. And he's been judged. He nailed everything to the door. Now he's under your feet. He prayed to them through the courts of heaven. He goes, all things are yours. You're complete in Christ. Stop working for it. That's it. Does that help you? Get to your feet. So, I know, some of you guys, it's really good news. I'm trying to show you what this is all about. It's not about increasing anything or decreasing anything. It's about, if you have belief in Jesus, it's more than enough. That's all you need. Hey, the unbelieving, everybody who came to Jesus, did they ever go away not getting what they wanted? Never. You can never find it. So whatever little bit, if you just turn to Jesus, is enough, is all I'm trying to tell you. That should increase your faith if you want to have a level. That just means the Gentiles didn't have to work for anything. They just came to Jesus and go, we know we don't deserve Jack because we're not even in this covenant. But we believe you're good, Lord. Right? You guys get this? So what does that mean for us? Honestly, I believe it's this. Then you get into Paul's writings and he goes, listen, the kingdom of heaven is real, guys. You're completely righteous as if you've never sinned because you're hidden in me. Well, it's as if we've never sinned, and as he is, so are we. Then how is he going to treat you? As if you're in Christ. So, I believe that's prophetic, what Les was saying, not just for Randy or whoever he says it goes. God's put something in your heart, guys. That's what I'm trying to get you. I don't have a vision for the church. I have a vision for you, individuals. I go, I want you to go kick butt. I want you to be the salt of the world. So if he's given you a vision for a business that you know, I don't have to earn his favor. It's freely given to me. I saw that the old covenant went away and Jesus came on the scene so I can have a double portion. Amen? I see this. Right? So you don't have to earn it. Guess what? His favor is what? His Holy Spirit wasn't just poured out in the old covenant on the kings, the prophets. And he goes, I'm going to pour it out on all flesh. My anointing is going to be on every one of you. You don't need to look for a man of God. He goes, my anointing's on you. Amen? So I don't need to lay hands on you and make you fall. I need to tell you the good news that you already have it. You can't get more anointed than you are. If you see that he ascended, you're anointed with double portion. Yes, he does. I hope this makes sense. So what does that mean? Hey, stop performing. He's well pleased with you. He loves you. He goes, man, why is the church still messing around telling you to perform and increase that and decrease this? That doesn't increase anything. It condemns them. Right? He goes, all things are now yours. It's my Father's good pleasure to give it to you. Man, if you knew how much I loved you, you'd freely see that I gave you everything. So now, business guys, people in your profession, here's what you can start doing. You wake up in the morning and go, man, I look terrible. Renew your mind. Wait a minute. Despite what I look, despite what the economy says, despite this situation, despite everything's falling apart, guess what? I believe and therefore speak. Jesus qualified me for this. Amen? So this is what's going to happen. Whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. Hallelujah. It shall prosper. I don't know. Lord, I have enough mustard seed to believe you love me that much. You think I'm good. You think I didn't come to condemn me, even though I have every right to be condemned. I'm not even supposed to have a consciousness of sin anymore because I realize that one sacrifice cleansed me forever, is what it said. Let the religious people gnash their teeth. You just go enjoy the new covenant. Does that make sense? Let TBN, I shouldn't say that. Let the television guys proclaiming everything but you're righteous, there's peace, there's joy. You're in the new covenant right now. You're in the kingdom of heaven right now, is what he says. Amen? It's not a physical thing. It's a belief system. You guys get it? Does that help you out? So because some of you guys have been condemning yourself for bad decisions and whatever. And you know what I would tell you? If you come to me, I go, man, welcome to the club. I probably made a bad decision this morning. We'll see if you had more wisdom. Oh, yeah, you. That really helps. Right? It doesn't help me. I go, my wisdom's Jesus, and he qualified me despite my lack. Hey, if it's just me, guess what? I'm a slave, man. I just go back to my dad and go, my Lord, I screwed up one more time, Lord. And what are you going to find there? Me. You're going to find me. I didn't come to judge you on that. I came to save you from that. So does that make sense? Now, guess what? I believe this, is the more you know you're righteous, diseases start going away. Disease is dis-ease. You're not at ease. There's something in your conscience that's not cleansed. Even Mayo Clinic and everything will tell you, hey, if we can get that cleaned up, your conscience cleaned up, your body, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead starts to touch your mortal body because your belief system's right, your holy place, your mind, will, and emotion starts to believe right. I'm righteous despite me. Thank you, Father. Oh, what an amazing grace what we were singing about. Does that make sense? It's amazing. It's amazing because I know I'm me. I'm an idiot. I go, but I look good in you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Does that make sense? Does that help you guys? And I'm just telling you, you start mixing anything else, it'll condemn you. The very thing that I thought would give me life is what Paul said. Man, the harder I tried, the worse it got. The thing I thought would bring me life, trying to be good, actually killed me. Who will save me from this wretched man that I am? Therefore, now there's no condemnation in Jesus. There's no judgment. Get it? Everything's Jesus. Hallelujah. Is that good news? So, hey, some of you guys got big dreams. I don't care how old you are. Man, if I was younger, no, he redeems time as if it never happened. I restore the years that the canker worm made. I hear that all the time. Man, if I was this, if I was that. Well, if I was older, I would do this. No, he restores time. It's irrelevant. In him is everything. Does that make sense? Does that free you up a little bit? That we can start being the salt of the world. Hey, I messed up. Yes. Hey, welcome to the club, man. Jesus is never judging you for that. In fact, he goes, if you just come to him, he'll restore everything you lost and add 20% because he was your trespass offering. He was your jubilee. He'll supernaturally cancel debts. Did it in the old covenant. That was a type and shadow. Guess what? The new covenant's even better. He not only does physical debts, he does spiritual debts. He's the axe head that cut down that old thing where you had to earn it. And he rose you to the top. He raised you up. Jesus rose him up, right, with his hand. And he goes, I paid the debt you couldn't pay. Enjoy me. Hallelujah. So that's becoming a Christian, guys, is putting losing your life, going, man, I didn't think I'm worthy because of my actions. He goes, if you lose that type of thinking, you'll find life. Just go, I'm worthy because of Jesus and Jesus alone. Then you'll find life. Hallelujah. Does that help you out? So let's just pray, guys. You know, the mustard seed's enough. Don't work yourself into a pretzel trying to increase something. Jesus' message was, mine's easy. My burden's light. You don't have to do anything to perform. It's all a gift. Amen? So that little mustard seed of just coming to him is enough. That's what I'm trying to share with you. And I believe things will start happening in your life like never before when you stop trying to earn it. You start trying to increase something, decrease. You can't get rid of that generation except by Jesus. Amen? Only Jesus can cast that unclean thing out. All right? So does that help you? I feel like you're quiet, but so it's probably me because I keep mortar mouth and keep going. So let's pray and get done with this. Amen? So, hey, you're born again by a different spirit. Guess what? It's all free. Jesus did it all for you. You start operating that spirit, you're going to what? You're going to find life. Hallelujah? So, Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. I'll just let them see you and you only. And if they've come here and they're quote-unquote not saved, all they need to do is see you, realize their old life. You took all that. You took every sin. You took every judgment. You even took their death. And if they can see that you rose again, that was their resurrection. You raised them up and go, now here's my life for free. They're born again. They're a Christian. They're operating from that better spirit. And they can start enjoying your kingdom that you say you love to give. It's free. It's your great pleasure for us to enjoy the work of Jesus. So, Father, I just proclaim right now, we just arrest for their conscience first that your blood took care of everything. The sin that was past, present, even the ones they're going to commit in the future, that you still see them as spotless. You've put on your white robe on them. They can clear up their conscience. Then diseases start to go away. Arthritis starts to go away. Depression starts to go away. Lack of joy starts to go away. Condemning spirits start to go away. Those are all works, Lord. Those are all works of the flesh. Let them freely receive. Receive your love. See how much you love them. Father, just give us eyes of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus and our Father. Father, you want to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can think or ask. So if these people are asking for things, they're asking for things to turn in their life, they're asking for changes in their life, let them see that you give it freely. Not only will you answer that, you're going to answer it exceedingly beyond what they think or ask. But at the end of the day, all we can do is go, Lord, this had to be you. What an amazing grace we live. In Jesus' magnificent name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hopefully that helps, guys.